What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's time to save. The Firestone Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale is on. Get 15% off all tires and $40 off a lifetime wheel alignment when you buy two or more eligible tires. Visit FirestoneCompleteAutoCare.com for details and more deals.
W-T-L.
It's
time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Ian D. Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the parlay pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And
yeah.
This episode I've been waiting on, I think everybody's been waiting on for a long time.
For sure.
Because, of course, the UFC 291 stacked
card.
Bottom. We're going to start there. But then, of course, Bud Crawford.
Bud.
Terrence Crawford. And this is going to be the first time in like a half century there will be an undisputed welterweight champion. All four belts are on the line.
We got
a special guest.
Yeah.
We're going to bring him up a little bit later here.
Okay.
But before we look ahead, maybe we should take a look back and talk about some hits and misses that we both had last week. And we'll start with that UFC fight night.
Yeah, that fight night over in England, the O2. Everybody, we were on the hometown girls and guys, obviously. And we split those down the middle. Molly McCann, neat ball, came out.
Yep.
And, you know, she lost. We were really high on her. But we knew it was kind of, you know, a shot in the dark that she would get back to her winning ways and everything.
Right.
But she lost, but we really hit it, Andy, and where we really were adamant was Tom Aspinall coming out and getting that knockout, which he did really quick in the first round.
And a lot of the lines are kind of pointing towards that. It's like, Tom should dominate here.
Yeah.
But there's that huge question mark. He's coming off an injury, but will he be able to complete it? And you said emphatically, yes, he will. Don't screw around with this. Don't mess this up.
Yeah.
Aspinall all the way, and man, did he put on a show.
Yeah, for sure. And if you got in on that plus money with that knockout, it's just even more sweeter.
Yeah, and you said that. You said sprinkle some on there.
For sure.
So Miss Amakan, the old meatball, let us down.
Yeah.
But Tom Aspinall.
It's okay.
The back end, and that was the feature event anyway.
Yeah, no doubt. Main event.
Well, let's stay right there with the UFC then.
Okay.
Let's get right into 291. On the main card, we got Stephen Thompson, Wonder Boy. Taking on Michelle Pereira. This is a welterweight bout. Both of these guys are coming off wins. You got a Brazilian taking off the Wonder Boy out of the United States, of course. And Wonder Boy, after everyone dogging him, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, for taking so much time off, and does he still got it? You know, he's over 40, right?
Exactly. Only 40.
He's a minus 165 favorite.
Yeah, exactly. And he just came off in a very impressive win against Kevin Holland, who's on this card as well, Andy, against another ranked opponent. So you see how the UFC really likes him and really thought that Wonder Boy win was a really, really good win. So like you said, Wonder Boy versus Pereira here. I think this has major fight of the night potential, Andy.
Oh, sure.
5 years ago, this would have been the perfect matchup for Wonder Boy. However, like you said, 40 years old, this is going to be a battle at the highest level in the sport. The Brazilian, while, you know, he has really uncanny athleticism, Andy, should be... This is going to be tough for Wonderboy to get done, but I think he should do enough to score points and avoid taking too much damage. I do got Thompson going down here by decision. So that is what I want to put my money on, is by decision for Wonderboy.
For Wonderboy, but it's going to go the distance. You think it's going to go all three rounds?
I think it's going to go the distance, and right now, by decision, Wonderboy is a plus 140, which is, you know, pretty good odds still, but you can tell the bookmakers really think that's probably the way it's going to go.
You know, we watched that fight together. We rented that UFC pay-per-view where Wonderboy took down Kevin Holland, and it was by TKO.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it surprised a lot of folks. You don't see that happening here.
No, I really don't. I I just think this is going to be a really, really good scrap. And these guys are warriors, and they're going to go the whole distance. The main reason I'm thinking that, Andy, is because the over-under is at 2.5 rounds. It's a 3-round fight.
Yeah.
And that over is at minus 220. So there's not a lot of betting, you know, juice there. You can tell that the bookmakers really think this is going to go the distance.
Yeah, and Pereira has such great takedown defense.
Yeah.
94% is the number the UFC website's throwing at
yeah,
us.
Yeah, for sure.
Right here. So you can see where this would go the distance, and I don't think Wonderboy is going to let him take him down to the mat. He wants to stay up on his feet.
Exactly.
So I think you're going to see two of the guys really try to enforce their will, like you always do.
Mm-hmm.
But these are two seasoned veterans
yeah,
that
these
know
guys
what
are
they
good.
Want to get done. So I bet
Fight of the Night. Fight of the Night, I think.
Could be Fight of the Night. All right. I like it. Give me Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
Let's move on up the card here. This is a fight that everybody is talking
for
about.
For sure.
And by the way, this UFC 291 is at the back at the Delta Center in Salt Lake City. The fun begins
Go to
at
Utah.
9 Central Standard
there
Time.
There it is.
So be sure to look at that. I bet that's every bit $85 a pay-per-view.
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
You got the powerful Poland Jan Blachowicz.
Polish power.
Yep, the number 3 contender in the world.
Yeah.
Taking on Alex Pereira, coming off a tough loss there to Izzy.
Yeah.
He's still the number 2 ranked contender in his usual weight class here. But
yeah.
Now he's moving to the light heavyweight here. This is going to be his first fight. I think this is a coin flip across the board, and that's what I think the books are trying to tell us here. You have minus money bets on both guys here.
Yeah, for sure, Andy, and that's what it is. Nobody knows anything about Alex Pereira at this weight class. It's just crazy, and it is kind of a really, really good kickboxer against kind of a ground-and-pound, get-you-on-the-ground kind of guy with Jan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these two guys are former champions in their respective weight classes, but can Alex make the jump to light heavyweight is my biggest thing. I really just think Jan's going to be a little bit too big for him, and Blachowicz is going to get him on the ground where he's going to have a huge, huge advantage.
You know, and it rhymes, I get it, Poland power and all that stuff, and he is a powerful guy. I get it. Jan's a big dude, right? But what gets lost in that is his defense. I think his defense is, and by the numbers, they might be better than his striking abilities, but it's just he's known for that power.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think he's going to give Alex all he can handle and more, especially moving up in this weight class here. I think this is a really tough draw. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a great fight, but give me Jan on that money line.
Yeah, for sure, Andy. And we've already seen this. 2 years ago, Izzy tried to go up and get this double-double champ status as well. Against who? Jan Blachowicz, when he was the reigning light heavyweight king. So I've already seen this story. I think it's going to go the same way. There's no doubt in my mind that Pereira can knock him out if he gets the chance to.
Yeah, of course.
But Jan, like you said, he's got the reach on him. He's got everything. He's going to get him down to the ground. He's going to bleed it out. Jan Blachowicz is going to win this one.
I think his defense will maybe negate some of that kickboxer.
Exactly.
You know, acumen that Alex Pereira has, and you know he is. He's a world-class kickboxer.
For sure.
But this is the UFC, right?
Yeah, and everybody's going to look at us and say, well, Blachowicz, he's older too. He's at 40. Pereira's only a few years younger than him.
That's right.
And has been through it all. You know, Alex Pereira's been through kickboxing, boxing, UFC. So there's a lot of tread on the tires for both these guys, but these are past champions. It's going to be a good fight.
You know, and just looking back to that that fight with Izzy that Pereira's coming off of, I mean, I don't even know how Izzy was able to come back.
Crazy.
It looked like Alex had him right
where
he wanted him. Was
no
starting
doubt.
To, you know, just grind him up against the cage. And I don't know. Izzy just, like, flipped a switch and said, nope, not this time.
Gave him a kick.
Yeah, got one in there, and
got
it was
one
enough.
In there.
All right, should we move on up?
Let's do it. Let's do the main event.
Oh, my God. This fight has the entire MMA community and buzzing for good reason. This is going to be a lot of fun. Dustin, the Diamond Poirier, taking on the highlight. Justin Gaethje, I think I wanted to say that's your guy, but both of these guys.
No, I love both of these guys. Obviously, everybody loves these guys. This is for the BMF title.
Lightweight bout.
Exactly.
True lightweight bout.
You know, their first fight back in 2018 is a legendary lightweight division fight. I think it's probably the best one ever seen between these two.
It was fight of the year in 2018.
Yeah.
And ESPN's been playing it on replay, and I watched it. I watched it a couple of times. you just get sucked in and glued to it. So much was happening in that fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think these guys took years off of their life in this fight. It was actually, it was crazy.
They might have.
In the end, the Louisiana native Poirier took it down. Yep. He was a little bit too much for the, you know, World Series of Fighting champion,
Gaethje.
Both men are much improved from that too, Andy.
I know.
This is how crazy this sport is, that the fight of the year in 2018, these guys come back to each other to lock up for the BMF title, and they're both better. Poirier's coming off huge wins off of obviously Connor, and then his last one. But Gaethje, if you look, he has four losses, Andy.
Yeah,
and his four losses are to all champions.
Yeah.
You know, most of all being Dustin Poirier, you know, interim champion, Khabib champion. Yep. It's crazy that these guys are just cream of the crop.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, as far as getting better, Gaethje, the highlight, he got that name because he would be wild and crazy earlier in his career. Now he's much more disciplined, much more upright.
For sure.
He still does the fun stuff, backswings,
and all the best.
You know, all that stuff.
To watch.
But it's a little bit more buttoned up, and it really was it almost was like a test of Gaethje saying, I'm going to do what I do well, and that is kick. I'm going to kick your legs, and you're going to see it if you'll be able to stand it.
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin could stand it just enough where he got that left jab in there in round four back in 2018. So it was like the jab versus the kick, and the jab prevailed. I don't know if that's going to happen this time around.
Yeah, for sure. Dustin Poirier is probably the best boxer in the UFC, I believe.
Quick hands,
all that kind of stuff. Max Holloway is the only one that really comes to mind when I'm thinking about boxing, him and Poirier.
Poirier's, by the way, I have him at a minus 145 favorite compared to Gaethje, who's a plus 125. So it's not out of line.
No, it's not out of line.
I think this is kind of a coin flip like we talked about the last one.
Exactly, Andy. And I really think Poirier is going to put a beating on Gaethje again. But this time around, the former interim champ will... He won't give in, and I think he's going to get a late revenge knockout on Poirier. I'm going with the highlight, TKO. Give me the highlight. Give me Gaethje.
I can't even say it. I'd love to say it, but I'm still on the diamond. I think that his boxing acumen, and he's going to be able to stay upright, and Justin will also play into that.
Yeah.
I think Poirier, as you mentioned, his defense has gotten a lot better. He's not going to let that right leg get swelled up and beaten up like he did that last bout.
For sure.
It was almost both men were just willing themselves to do what they do great, and Poirier just outlasted him just a little bit there in that fourth round. This is going to be a banger all the way. I like Dustin in a coin flip. You have the highlight.
I got the highlight. The only reason I'm saying that, Andy, is because Justin Gaethje is sitting there to win by KO at plus 225. Woo. I think it's a really, really really good play for the value, which is something that could majorly happen in this fight with his the way he knocks people out.
No doubt. He can get those kicks up high, too.
No doubt.
He can do that. you heard the horn there. A little bit of a teaser here. We're talking UFC. Then we're going to head up to Vegas for this next segment.
Yeah.
Talking Bud Crawford taking on Errol Spence Jr.
Yep.
This could be the fight of, what would you say?
The century.
I mean, all four welterweight belts are on the line here, and we got a guest, Jimmy Allen of the After Hours Show on 1620 The Zone out of Omaha. He's going to be sitting ringside covering this, so he's going to be on media row there. So
that's awesome.
When I heard that, I'm like, Jimmy, you're my boy. We got to get you on this week's WTL, and he's a little bit of a degen too. He'll admit that.
For sure,
So we're going to be right back with Jimmy Allen talking Bud Crawford, Errol Spence Jr. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line? I'm your host, Andy Klassen. We got a big-time guest here, a return guest, Jimmy the Geek, not the Greek, Allen. How you doing, Jimmy?
Hey, man, I'm fantastic. We're getting amped up for Big Ten Media Days this week. And then, obviously, the big-ticket item, Terrence Crawford, finally gets a fight that he's been looking for the last 6 years, and Errol Spence Jr., and getting ready to head out to Vegas Thursday morning.
Yeah, and this is just fantastic. Your show, After Hours, is going to be ringside live. Showtime pay-per-view. It's 7 Central Standard Time from the T-Mobile Arena. This is the big ticket fight that Crawford's always been after. You've got to be excited. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I gotta thank my good friend Terrence for saving me $85 in a pay-per-view buy. So, we'll get there Thursday about 11 a.m. and then we'll be at Fight Row. So we'll be talking to Crawford, Spence, anybody in the game. The undercard guys. We're excited about all of it. And T-Mobile Arena being a new venture and right there around MGM Grand and New York should be a pretty good time too.
Oh, it's going to be a great time. You know that. And I call you Jimmy the Geek because Jimmy the Greek's already been taken. And you got a professional career in IT. So I say it in the most low way.
Yeah.
There you go. So talking about the sports betting line, it's really been on the move here. I'll get some graphics up here. But when I made this, Crawford was a 155, minus 155 favorite. I've already seen it move to 190. Errol Spence went from a plus 130 to a plus 140. And we're just talking a couple hours here earlier in the week where we're seeing this type of movement.
Yeah, you know me, I like to check multiple sources. And right now, Circa Sportsbook has Bud as a minus 158. And then FanDuel has him as a minus 146. The biggest movement, though, has been on Spence and if you're an Errol Spence fan watching this, it's not in your benefit. I mean, he's dropped on FanDuel from plus 105 all the way up to plus 116. So
yeah,
it really feels like after Oscar De La Hoya's comment yesterday about the talent level on Crawford's side of things being the far superior, that the betting folks in Vegas have listened and the sharp money is starting to come in on the hometown kid from Omaha.
And you really are seeing a couple of fan bases divided here, and that's to be expected, right? Where a lot of people from Nebraska, Omaha, they're all Bud Crawford. People from the Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas area, they're all Errol Spence, whether it's Dallas Cowboys weighing in or whatever the case may be. And there's a good argument to be had on both sides. Combined, they're 67-0 with 52 knockouts between these two fighters. I think the only bugaboo with Crawford that people are talking about is maybe he's not as big. And maybe he's not as powerful, but then you can switch it over and say, well, yeah, but Bud Crawford has got a few more tools in his toolbox. Most notably, he can fight from either stance.
Yeah, and I think the one interesting thing, back to your point about Dallas and the national outlook on this, is the weird part about this is you would expect the kid from the Dallas, New York, Philadelphia, with Spence moving around as much as he has areas, to kind of have more of the national spotlight. And that's not really the case. It really feels like he kind of has his niche group of those big markets. And then the rest of the country has kind of followed Terrence Crawford. And it helps that Bud's been the pound for pound number one ranked fighter or in the top five for the last 5 years, where Errol Spence is just more recently in those 5 years creeped up into that realm. But to your point though, it's going to be interesting for me personally when I get to Radio Row on Thursday to see how the national perspective is, because obviously when you're in the bubble that we are in Omaha, that it's kind of hard to see outside of it. But from everything I'm seeing online and all the talking heads that I've heard, it really feels like the national media is on Crawford here.
Yeah, and that's interesting in its own right, because Crawford's a little bit older and he's had to work his way up from lightweight to super lightweight. He has had 7 bouts now at welterweight. And, oh, by the way, he's 7-0 with 7 KOs. So that talk about power, if you really look at some of these numbers, I don't think Bud Crawford and Crawford fans are too worried about that.
Well, and when you look at who they fought, when you look at the guys that they both fought, Crawford's finished more of those guys too. And it really – I mean, there was no – there was no dividends about it, right? I mean, when he made the jump up from 140, it was Errol Spence, but I'll beat whoever I have to get to Errol Spence. And we're hearing that this fight may have not have happened 6 months ago because coin flips about who's coming out first and petty things like that. But when you're talking about the best of the best, I mean, that stuff matters. I mean, when we turn on our TV and we see them walk into the ring, It's a guy walking around, walking to the ring with guys holding belts up behind him. But as somebody that's been standing there while that's happened, there's so much happening behind the scene that you have to prepare throughout the day when you're walking out. So it's not a matter of I want my music to hit first and I want to be seen last, or I'm the champion and I need to be respected. My routine is this, and this is how I would like my day to go. So when I get in the ring, nothing else matters. Because when you're talking about guys at the level of Errol Spence, you're talking about the guys at the level of Terrence Crawford, there's so much happening within their camp behind the scenes. I know when we see them shadow boxing or hitting pads on TV, it looks like people are just standing around. No, those are immediate people, and those are family members, and tickets are being taken care of, and we're making sure there's enough water and coolers and things of that nature. And that matters when you walk to the ring. So I know a lot of people made, and I'm defending Spence here as a Crawford guy. I'm defending Spence here, and I know a lot of people threw shade at him for that, putting that in the contract and whatever you may have it. But it is a big deal to those guys. Now for the fight itself, and we're talking about the contract, the most interesting thing to me is the fact that the rematch clause has been put in already. That's in the contract for a second fight. And if you're guys like us, and we're looking at these lines, if you're Bud Crawford and you want this to be the last one, if you want to have your swan song in the desert and leave T-Mobile Arena and maybe be done with boxing, it is in your best interest to come out and finish this fight early. You talked about Bud's ability to fight, switch side, and in the last couple of fights, we haven't seen him do that. We've seen him come out southpaw and finish things early. But in my opinion, he's the best counter fighter of all time because he does have the ability to lose the first two rounds fighting orthodox style and then come out and switch to a southpaw and finish things in a quick manner. I don't think that's going to happen on Saturday. I expect him to come out. Errol Spence knows what's coming. And I think if Bud throws the curveball and comes out southpaw to start things out, I think he has the ability to maybe finish the fight sooner rather than later, and I think that's in his best interest.
That's an interesting take because you were at the last fight in Omaha. We were at the last fight against Jose Benavidez, another fight where the belts were on the line, and it felt like Crawford did his usual thing where he just kind of felt him out the first two, three, maybe even four rounds, and that's where all of our bets were placed at. Was he going to get the KO in five, four, or in round six? And of course he got it in round six. You think he's going to come out kind of firing on this one?
So with all due respect to those last two guys,
here we go.
those were tune-up fights, and there was a play for the crowd there. I mean, when Bud took the last fight, he knew that there was a really good chance that was the last time he was going to fight in Omaha. And he wanted to make sure that everybody at home and everybody that paid for a ticket there got their money's worth and got to see him at his prime for longer than maybe we saw him against the Julius Ndongo. I don't know if you know this at home, but fighters don't get paid by the hour. They get paid by the fight. And I don't expect a methodical, slow down, figure him out type of pace. There's enough film on Errol Spence that you know what you're getting. And unfortunately for Errol Spence, there's enough film on Bud Crawford that you know what you're getting. And I think that you made the point about the power game a little bit ago, and I think that's just such a misconception because of how big Errol's body is and what his makeup is.
Yeah,
Terrence purposely doesn't do that. He trains in Colorado to get rid of the bulk. There's an intention there. The power game is there. It may not look like it and how often does sports guys use the guy you get off the bus that you let get off the bus first. Approach, but go ask Julius Ndongo's liver about Terrence Crawford's power, and I don't think there's going to be much of a debate.
Yeah, and I think that debate can kind of be put to rest, and I think it's been intentional. All seven welterweight bouts of Crawford since he's moved up to 147, they've all ended in a KO or a stoppage of some sort, and I think he's sending a message there. Flipping back to Spence Jr., he had a very impressive last fight as well against Yordanes Ugas, and that came as a stoppage. So I think there's a lot to be made. And he's also a southpaw, so that a little bit of a curveball, but you got to feel that Bud's ready for this.
Well, and back to their fight comparisons, I mean, when you look at like a guy like Sean Porter and Kell Brook, who have both fought Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence, Kell Brook had Errol Spence on the ropes for a little bit. And that power that Kell Brook has didn't really waver Terrence Crawford a whole lot. Sean Porter is a guy that people really expected to give Bud Crawford a run for his money because of him taking Errol Spence the distance.
Right.
And say what you want about the comments from Sean Porter's father about throwing in the towel and look what I did for you. And no, your son was in a bad way. And it was painfully obvious. If you didn't stop it, somebody else was going to. And
I
hate to put it this way, but I throw the David Avedis fight out the window. I mean, that was what it was. But it's and the same thing with the Benavidez fight. But when you look at really one of the only times that Bud's been in trouble was against Jeff Horn, and I think that's a benefit for mm-hmm. Terrence, because the question's always been, what does Bud Crawford look like when he's out in deep water and does get rocked? Well, we've seen it, and he right. came back and finished the fight. So I really think that if we're looking at the body of work and being compared side by side, I think it's Terrence Crawford by a mile.
Yeah, you're going Bud all the way here. And that Porter fight, that is the only one. There's a horn, so we're a little up against it here. But that was the only fight between these two fighters that actually went the distance and went to a split decision. Otherwise, it's been all KOs and all unanimous decisions here. Four belts on the line here, Jimmy. The WBA, IBF, the WBC, and WBO. This will be a true undisputed welterweight champion. Do you got your eye on any of those prop bets, like a KO in the seventh round, a KO in the sixth round, or are you just going straight Terrence with the win?
No, I'm sticking to my gun here. My wallet's backing me up. I've got money invested on Terrence Crawford finishing this in the fifth round.
Oh, wow.
I think it's in his best interest. I think it's going to be a concentrated effort from his camp, for Brian McIntyre and those guys to come out and put the pace on Errol Spence early, because we haven't seen what it looks like when Errol Spence gets taken out to the deep water against a fighter of this level in his prime. And I really don't. I don't think, most importantly, I don't think Errol Spence knows how he's going to respond to that type of pressure. And I think Terrence has got a strong enough chin, if Errol does put him on the spot and make some strong connections early, that he can regroup later in the fight too. So I think it's all Terrence Crawford's advantage to not take the slow pace and come out and press it early.
Absolutely love that take, Jimmy. Thank you so much for joining us on WTL.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. We'll get together when I get back to Vegas.
There we go. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
Oh, yeah, the parlay.
Yes.
Hounder.
We're back.
Now, what did you think of old Jimmy Allen there talking Bud Crawford, Errol Spence Jr.?
I mean, that's just really awesome stuff. The fact that he gets to be on, you know, just ringside there doing this stuff, that would be a dream come true for me. And I agree everything that he said. I'm taking Crawford by TKO as well. So
like him in the fifth round?
I don't know if I'm going to get that crazy, but Terrence Crawford by KO right now is at plus 270, and that's probably what I'm throwing my money on.
That's a pretty good one. I like that as well, and I'm just going to go with Jimmy. I'm getting in on it too.
Do it.
Fifth round, what'd you say, plus 4,000?
Plus 4,000 right now. So
love that.
Yeah. Find it at your sports book and do it.
There we go. Oh, come on, Bud. Just
come on, Bud.
Here we go.
I just want him to win. I really do.
I do too. So we're going to shift gears a little bit here, though, to finish things off. We're going to talk. We've been talking divisions in the NFL.
Yeah.
A lot of futures, a lot of over-unders are coming out and getting refined a little bit here. We're starting to see some movement, as we always do. We're going to talk AFC East.
The East.
And let's just start at the bottom and work our way up once again.
Yeah, the team that used to control the top, Andy, is now at the bottom for a third straight year, or maybe fourth straight year if I'm thinking back right. But the Patriots were sitting there right now. They're lined to win the division as a plus 750 right now, Andy, and their over-under win total during the year is at 7.5.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to see the Patriots, but I can't lie. I like seeing it.
I think you're along with all casual NFL fans and NFL fans of anyone other than the Patriots. Like, you had your run, you had your time. It was unfair. You dominated a division for basically 20 years. You had three coaches, just a revolving door, because you're getting everyone fired in that division, whether it be in Miami, New York, whatever.
Your assistants revolving door, because they're going down head coaching jobs and getting fired and coming back. And so it was a dynasty for sure.
It was lightning in a
a bottle for 20 years, which is an oxymoron,
right?
I believe. But you also got caught cheating like 7, 8, and whatever times. we'll throw a little shade at the old Patriots.
Doubt.
They had it coming. But yeah, here now, they're at a plus 700, and they should be. Mac Jones had quite a regression last year.
Yeah, for sure.
14 touchdowns to 11 interceptions after a really good, promising rookie year.
Yeah.
And then he kind of faded. I think what happened to him, the film caught up to him. Teams were ready for him the second and third, fourth time around.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I do believe in this team is, you know, no more than a decent quarterback season away from, you know, a true to division title contender.
Yeah.
But, you know, the elite offenses in the AFC East that we're going to be talking about, I think, is just thoroughly better than this offense.
Right.
One stat I wanted to give you, Andy, on the Patriots is the New England Patriots were 7-0 in games last year when its opponents would score fewer than 20 points. They were 1-9 in games when the defense surrendered more than 20. They had a really good defense last year, but if they gave up over 3 touchdowns, they're not winning the game.
Not at all. And I'm looking at a little write-up here, and they're looking at key players, and not one single receiver's on
yeah.
that. And this is a passing league. You got to help Mac Jones out.
You do.
It's just not
you
gotta,
there. Belichick, you got to bring in Moss. You got to do it.
Yep.
Just get Justin Jefferson. But, no, another key stat I want to throw in. New England has gone 7-9, 10-7, and 8-9 in the 3 years since Tom Brady's left.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's the key. These guys won't sniff the division. I think they will sniff that
over-under at 7.5?
7.5. It'll be close.
Yeah,
it will be close. I don't like this team enough to bet on the over, so I'm going to stay away from it.
I would stay away as well if I had to bet it. You know, I would go under. I really would.
Some
of the guys I've been hearing, they think the ceiling's 6 games for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And when you start to look at this division, it makes a little
sense. It's tough. It's tough.
So let's move on up.
For sure.
Let's talk about the Fish, the Dolphins.
The Dolphins.
Miami.
Yeah,
Miami,
welcome
Miami.
To Miami.
There we go. Tua, he strings together some really nice games, and you really start to believe.
For sure.
But as everyone knows, the bugaboo is, can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
Phenomenal season last year, over 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, and only 8 interceptions. But even then, he got dinged up a little bit.
Yeah, knocked out of the game a couple times, Andy. Yeah, key stat for Miami is they went 7-4 last year in games where Tua entered and exited healthy.
Yeah.
So they are a very, very good team when that happens. When he's out, it's tough. You can't be starting Skylar Thompson, you know, in a playoff game and thinking that it's going to work out for you. So, I mean, the Dolphins are moving all in by taking huge contracts and trading for stars.
I like it.
And they also have a brilliant young head coach. I think he's really good, Mike McDaniel.
Yeah,
but
he's something.
If Tagovailoa misses time, we've seen it. We've seen it with all these teams that build up this talent. Look at the San Francisco 49ers last year.
Yep.
Probably the best overall team in the entire NFL. Didn't have a quarterback. They lose.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you're one injury away, but you do see a path here for them to win it. They're at a plus 290 right now, 9.5 over-under, and I think they probably have the best top two receivers. Well, Cincinnati might have something to say about that, but Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, both guys went over 1,300 yards last year, so you got to like that. They got a lot of good things going for them. Let's move on up real quick, though.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills are obviously the favorites, but I want to talk about the Jets.
Everybody's talking about the Jets. Yeah.
They're at a plus 250 to win the division, a 9.5 over under, just like the Dolphins. And you start to look at that, it's like, well, not everybody can win 10 games here.
Not everybody can, Andy. and that's why it's so crazy. The New York Jets are at plus 250 and Miami's at a plus 290. So they're sitting right there neck and neck because that's the way it should be. A crazy stat that I really looked at with the Jets last year, 6 of the Jets' 10 losses came in one-score games, and that's without Aaron Rodgers.
They have a great defense.
And they have a bunch of young players that are really, really wanting to win this. So the talent is there, Andy, and if anything proves right, if Rodgers has people around him that can, you know, really go, he's going to take him pretty far.
You already seen all these videos come out of Garrett Wilson tearing it up in practice and how – Aaron Rodgers is just dropping it in on the diamond. People in New York, especially Jets fans, are like, oh my God, that pass went right to his hands. Like where his hands were at.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's what,
well, that's what he does.
That's what NFL talented quarterbacks are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson, he has a smile on his face from ear to ear right now. I expect a big season from him. I think Breece Hall is going to have another big
for
season.
For sure.
I think he's going to become more of a pass catching threat, obviously.
It has to be.
I really like the Jets here. Not only to win the division, I won't go that far, but maybe. Mm-hmm. But I like their over-under. I think they can get 10 wins. I think the over on 9.5 is the way to go here.
Yeah, exactly, Andy. And I was just going to, you know, point to that. If that 9.5 wins, I really think it's a good bet for the Jets because I really think they are going to take down the Patriots twice. I really do think that.
Uh-huh.
And then I think they split with the other two teams. I really think that they're going to be able to do that in this division. And I just want to throw it out there. The Jets' last Pro Bowl quarterback was Brett Favre. Another ex-Green Bay Packer in 2008. And guess what? They went 9-7 that year, so they're right on the line.
I'll tell you what. It worked for Tampa Bay.
It did.
It worked for the L.A. Rams.
It did.
Will it work for the Jets? All signs kind of point towards yes. You got a young, talented defense, and you got some really good offensive pieces.
Yeah.
And where you might have had some holes, Aaron Rodgers is like, well, you're coming over, and the Jets are just like, fine, do it. We'll do it.
No, the real thing with the Jets is that they looked at their season last year, and they had all this young talent on there. They just needed a leader. They needed a quarterback.
Yep.
They got their guy.
I would say Aaron Rodgers is an okay quarterback. Being a Bears
he's
fan,
all right.
He's still in Chicago, I think.
He's still the owner of the Chicago Bears.
All right, let's talk about the favorites here. That is the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
+130. 10.5 wins is their over-under. I like them both here. I think a lot of people get caught up in talking about the Dolphins because they're fun. They got some new guys.
The offense is awesome.
Yeah, all
the offense
things.
Is fun.
And Buffalo, what'd they add? Well, they didn't need to add anything. Okay.
No.
They are at the top of this division. I think they will be once again. Josh Allen, people throw shade at him saying, oh, he turns the ball over. I don't know. I mean, 35 touchdowns to 14 picks last year.
Yeah.
Give me that all day.
Every
over 4,000 yards.
Every team in the history of the NFL would take that no matter what. No, it's kind of like the Patriots, like we're just talking.
Yeah.
It kind of gets tiring talking about a winning team all the time.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills are definitely still the best team in this division. I'm not saying that the Jets or the Dolphins can't make a run at it, but this line at +130, if that's where it's at, is correct. And the 10.5 wins for Buffalo, that's an easy one.
Yep.
Throw that out the window. Put money on that right now. They are getting over 11 wins.
Even if Josh Allen gets hurt, and their offensive line, but he's a mobile quarterback, you know, and he's gotten a lot better at protecting himself. They still have a good enough defense and offensive weapons with Stephon Diggs, a new young running back that started to emerge last year. They can still get to 11 wins. Like I can still see them doing that. And here's where people get tripped up. You start talking about Josh Allen, and they start comparing him to Joe Burrow. They start comparing him
to
Patrick Mahomes in the AFC. They're not in his division.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills are still going to win this AFC East.
Yeah, they should.
Of course they are. They got the best quarterback right now.
For sure. Buffalo has won an average of 12.3 games over the last three seasons and has never won fewer than 11 during that same stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, aside from injury to Allen – I do believe everybody's talking the Edmonds, letting him go to Chicago and all that is a big thing on their defense. But it will be. He's a really good player, but they got Von Miller. They got other pieces that can pick up the slack there. And Josh Allen is the best player in the AFC East, and that's where you need to look at it. Stephon Diggs, still one of the top five receivers in the league. They're going to be up there. They're getting this 10.5 wins. I think they take the division as well.
That's another argument that I'm hearing against Buffalo. Oh, who's the number two receiver? Who cares?
Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, who cares?
Doesn't matter.
And Gabe will take the top off the defense. They got the pieces.
They got the
and
pieces.
It doesn't matter. It really, people said the same thing about Kansas City last year. Oh, Tyreek Hill's gone. No deep threat. Yeah, right. Patrick Mahomes is going to make it work. Josh Allen is going to make it work as well. And if you're going to play that, well, what if Von Miller gets hurt? You could do that with everybody else in the division, too.
Everybody in the
Don't give me the injury.
And guess what? They won the division by 4.5 games last year, so there you go.
Well, that'll about do it for us this week, folks. Be sure to follow us on ESPN, Tri-City Radio's there. Facebook page there. We're on Twitter. That Twitter handle's growing.
Yeah.
But our YouTube channel, I got to thank everybody. We are right at 2,000 subscribers right now.
And
we
please subscribe.
Yeah, please do. And thank you to everyone that has subscribed and is supporting the channel and watching our short videos. We're having a lot of fun with that. And also, with those daily free picks over on TikTok that you're all over.
Get them home.
TikTokers out there. For Joe Braun, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.